Let's talk some NFL football and whatever is left of the Cleveland Browns, as Barry Shuck of Dogs by Nature joining us here covering the Cleveland Browns, and always kind enough to make time for us each and every Thursday at 6:15. Barry, I hope you're having a better day than Cleveland's roster.
Yeah, it's one of those days that you can leave all your windows open, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Have you applied for a job at quarterback up there yet? Stefanski can't even get back to you because he's in COVID protocol too.
That's true. No, I did submit an application for yourself though. I know you played quarterback, so they're gonna need a good number two.
Yeah, that's what I guess you can base my career around the number two if you get my drift. But but when it comes down to it, looking right now, Barry, at the game itself, you know, for this, Drew and I had a conversation. A lot of times we try to hit all the different points. We weren't arguing. We were just trying to make the points. I wasn't saying this was my personal opinion, but you know, covering the NFL, the NFL will do anything to save money and making sure that their brand is intact. I just don't think any of these games are going to get canceled. I think postponing it wouldn't be a bad idea. But what do you think is going to ultimately happen with not only the Cleveland Browns, but even teams like Washington right now, and what we're seeing with a number of these teams like the LA Rams?
Well, as of today, there have been 100 players throughout all 32 teams that have been placed on the COVID list for this weekend. That's an incredible number. And out of that, it's I think the percentages are 68% are starters. It's just incredibly high. I think the Los Angeles Rams had the most. Cleveland's got 14. I think the Rams have 13. The Vikings have 7. The Patriots have 3. So, you know, and the Washington football team has 20. So everybody is affected by this.
Is it something where Cleveland, with their roster, do you see any change being made? Because honestly, I mean, Cleveland is in the mix for the postseason, and this isn't one of these that they're going to be happy anymore getting close. A couple years back, Cleveland fans had gone through a lot, Barry, as you know, writing for them for years, where they were okay with being a team that might finish 7-9, 8-8. That's not where they're at anymore after last year going 11-5 and almost making it to the AFC title game. So if you look right now at Cleveland, they're 7-6. They do need this game, but if they're putting Nick Mullen on the field, there's a very, very, very small chance that they actually get the game.
That's absolutely true. Well, they have Casey Keenum, who they pay $6 million a year. He is 1-0 this year in appearances for quarterback Baker Mayfield when he had an ankle injury. So he's in good hands. I can remember, I think it was 2017 with the Minnesota Vikings. They won 11 games that year. They went to the postseason. So he's got 63 NFL starts. So as far as starting quarterback, that's fine. But like other teams, other positions are decimated. With the Browns, 3 of their 5 starting offensive linemen are out. 2 of their tight ends are out. They're looking at other teams' practice squads, trying to bring a guy in, try to find the most experience. And then the defensive backfield is been decimated. But I got a statement today from the NFL. I'm on their communications list. And as of today, they are making protocol updates. And the changes that are going to be made is they are going to have preventive measures that everybody associated with every team, regardless of what you do, whether you're a trainer, whether you're a laundry person, whether you're a player, a coach, going to have masks. And that's regardless of vaccination status. They're going to have remote or outdoor meetings. They're going to eliminate all in-person meals. Well, you know, as a former player, players eat meals together. And there are going to be no outside visitors. Now, that starts today. And so they're not going to cancel any games. They've already said they're not going to cancel any games. Last year, the only game that they moved, I would say, is a Ravens game. And the only reason they moved out was not because the amount of Baltimore players that were on the COVID list, but because the stadium itself that they were playing in Baltimore, they deemed it unsafe to play. And until that Thursday night game, which became a Saturday game, which became a Sunday game, which became a Tuesday night game, until that was ruled safe, they could not play that. So the NFL has already come out and said, we are not going to cancel any games.
Yeah, Barry, I don't know if you saw this, but Case Keenum also tested positive. So it is going to be Nick Mullins who's getting the start. So, I mean, that's just another one added to the list. But in terms of the possibility, I know that this is, along with college football, the idea of potentially forfeiting games if you don't have enough players to field a roster. I mean, is this the best way the NFL could have done this, or by trying to do this, you know, and expedite the process, if you will, of players being able to come back and play, do they risk the chances of there being more positive cases over the next couple of weeks?
Hold on just a second. You're exactly right about Case Keenum. I'm putting in Mullen's name. And here, let me go through here. I've got my Sharpie. I'm writing in as backup quarterback Chad. How do you spell this name? B-R-I-L-L.
No, it's N-O-S-H-O-W. Yeah, that's it's a.
I got you. Well, you know, rosters are 53 players. A practice squad is 10 players. You have access to everybody's practice squad in the entire league. So if you need a backup kicker, you need a backup whatever, you just claim somebody off of somebody else's practice squad at any time. Now, with the protocol, they got to have 3 days. So that's what the kicker is, at least with the Browns case and with the Rams case and the Washington Football Club. They knew about all these players on Tuesday. So they were able to look at other rosters to say, okay, if I'm going to start Mullen as my quarterback, which at the time they didn't know Mullen was going to be the starting quarterback, let's bring in another guy because Mullen was the third guy. So they had time to do that. But the way the NFL looks at it is, look, you've got 53 guys. Yes, you've got backups, and yes, they aren't starters, but they are professional football players. This is what they do. A punter comes in and punts. An offensive guard comes in and blocks. And you're just going to have to do what you can with what you got.
So they won't get to the point where, if say 15 starting quarterbacks are out, they aren't going to get to the point where they start, postponing games. Do you think they're going to get to that point at all where they say, you know, it's smarter to postpone a game rather than risk, you know, the possibility of more of this impacting a team's overall record? Because, I mean, if you get down to crunch time, if you get down to the last week of the season and it's one team in and one team out of the playoffs and one team is decimated and loses four starters and the other team's got all of them, I mean, you might as well just end the game right there.
Yeah, and so far I have not seen any indication that the NFL is going to do that. The Ravens game, like I was talking about, is one example. But the Browns last year, they had the most players out for a single game. They had 8 out against the New York Jets, who'd only won one game all year. All 4 of their starting receivers were completely out. All 4. They had to bring up the 2 practice squad guys.
I remember that, yeah. Because I started Baker Mayfield that week in fantasy, I remember.
Yeah, they had to claim 2 practice squad guys from other teams, and that was the receiver group. They had just traded for Marvin Jones right at the deadline, and he was the only one that had any NFL experience up until that. So that's just the way it is. The Browns lost that one by 5 points, and the NFL's take on that, I think if this started maybe early in the season, that the NFL might have a different stance on it, because then you're dealing with bye weeks. Then you're dealing with maybe able to shift in games. But this late in the season, if you cancel a game or you move a game, where are you going to move it to? As soon as the season ends, the very next weekend is first round of the playoffs. Then the week after that is the second round of the playoffs. And the week after that is the AFC-NFC championships. The only actual lull that they have is they have 2 weeks between the AFC-NFC championship game and the Super Bowl. The Senior Bowl is squeezed right in the middle of it. Usually the Pro Bowl is squeezed in the middle of it. But they do have an extra week there. But as I see it, I don't see where they would move these games to. if they cancel games or try to shift games, I think what they would do is just not play them at all. And then you would have game teams with uneven records. So you got one team with 17 games and one team with 16 games or maybe even 15. Then what do?
And they'll figure out, and that's why that's a last resort. Just being around, knowing the NFL, they'll do anything, like you said. They'll search every record. Get every single player off those practice squads to try to form a team. Is it fair? No. The spread's could be minus 20 by game time, but they're gonna try to get that game in. And I don't know. At this point, though, there's more stuff going on right now. Urban Meyer out of a job. Now, this was sort of inevitable by the end of the season. I did surprise some people that it happened mid-season, because to see a coach get fired mid-season is usually because, like a John Gruden, because there's pressure to leave. Now, Urban had done some stuff at his Columbus restaurant, and we all know that. We saw the pictures and videos. And then, you know, the kicking of Josh Lambeau, that didn't help. Added a little icing there. But, you know, I think it was inevitable he wasn't going to be there. But, Barry, this move had to be made to me if you're Jacksonville.
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about in July, the Jaguars were fined $200,000 and Meyer was personally fined $100,000 after they violated the non-contact rule during OTAs. They signed Tim Tebow, who had never played tight end. I believe when Tebow was with the Patriots, if they had switched him to tight end like they wanted him to, who knows, he might still be playing. But Belichick is an offense that relies on tight ends, who needs tight ends, but that's a different animal. But Tebow hadn't played football in I don't know how many years, and he was on the wrong side of 30. Just his time, Urban Meyer's timeline of all the things that have happened, like whether players were vaccinated or unvaccinated, him calling his coaches losers. Well, guess what? You hired those guys. I mean, you personally interviewed. He knew most of them. He personally interviewed, and then he hired them. It just reeks, absolutely reeks of just unprofessionalism. You know, if you look at it, some of the greatest college coaches have tried the NFL and failed. Spurrier lasted 2 years with Washington. Nick Saban lasted 2 years with Miami. His wife said, let's go back to college football. And he said, okay, that's a good idea. It's just a different animal. With college football, the main problems you have is making sure that players go to class, making sure they don't get people pregnant, making sure that they do their finals and they keep up their grades and they don't get in bar fights, whereas professional football players are paid. They have houses. They have families. They have children. They have a family that stay with them. And just all the nuances of guys that are now getting a paycheck to play. Plus, a lot of these guys are making double, triple, quadruple the annual salary of what the coach is making.
Yeah, and you could just tell there was – even in Urban Meyer, as somebody wrote an article, and this is more of a sentimental thing towards, you know, people, but people live and dream. All three of us, you know, are football fans, but we're also sports fans, and we would love to be in the shoes of an Urban Meyer or have a chance to be an NFL football coach. Getting to work with Kay Stevenson, I told him that the other day, Barry, but he had been there. He had been one of those rare people that has that opportunity. But for so many people that would do anything for that job, to watch a guy walk in and treat it with such, like, it was almost like he didn't want to be there. It was a shame. Yeah, it was shameful to that position where there's 32 people around the world that get that opportunity, and he looked at it like it was a joke.
Well, and there have been former players. Even I mean, if you have Shaquille Griffin said the next head coach needs to be somebody who doesn't make it about themselves. Like, and I'm paraphrasing in that, and also.
And he's a class act.
Robinson gets benched, yeah. And then Trevor Lawrence is saying this guy needs to be on the field. And if you got Trevor Lawrence, who normally is a relatively quiet individual, speaking up about this, I mean, plus from day one he hired the guy from Iowa or whatever who had credible accusations of racism and endangering his athletes, and then he got bad. There was bad rap about that, so we fired him. And it's been a complete disaster from day one. And then Barry with the signing of Tim Tebow, it's like he thought somehow for some reason this is about him and just him, and that everybody else, even who we hired, is below him and is not as good as he is. And it's the ultimate selfish act as a head coach, which is not supposed to be there as a head coach. There shouldn't be a selfish bone in your body when it comes to, you know, coaching a team.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a great college coach, a phenomenal college coach. And when you're taking the lives of guys that are 18 to 22, and you can be sort of a father figure, maybe not, maybe yes, and you can mold those guys, but none of those guys, you know, in college, if the three of us are 4- and 5-star athletes and we are offered from Urban Meyer, whatever college he goes to, and we decide, then we play for him. That's not the way the NFL works. The NFL is completely different. You just don't get guys just because you want guys that are coming out of the NFL draft. And guys coming out of high school, if you want him and you offer him, and they say yes, and the next year they're suiting up and playing for you. So it's completely different. College football, if you've got a landscape like Nick Saban does and Dabo has and Ohio State has, if you've got a landscape where your team goes to the playoffs all the time, they're always on television, their guys are going to the NFL and making money, and you're always in the spotlight, you've got a king and a kingdom of oasis awaiting you. I never understood why Spurrier left Florida. Guys wanted to go there. They flocked to go there. But guys didn't want to go to South Carolina. But if you've got a great coach and you've been there long enough and guys know, hey, I'm going to be on television, hey, I could go to the NFL, then those guys are going to say yes to your program. But when you get to the NFL, acquiring players is a completely different animal than it is in college football.
Barry, before we let you go, we know you always bring a nice piece of history to the game. So what do you have for us this week? Because I'm very interested to hear this.
I'm going to give you an idiom of pick six. You know, nothing turns around a game like an interception return for a touchdown. And for the longest time, this was just called, you know, an interception for a touchdown. But the interception or pick, as it's known now, becomes a score for the defensive team. We know that. And therefore, the 6 points added to the score. John Madden came up with this. He was a very successful coach. When he was a commentator, he had a flair for verbiage such as boom and doink. And in one game, he just came up with the term pick six, and which was a term that Madden knew was derived from horse race betting.
That's pretty cool. I did not know that.
That's crazy.
Well, that Barry, that's some good stuff right there, and I did not know that at all. Yeah, I didn't know John Madden did it, and I didn't know that it came from horse racing either. And you know, Matt Schaub's an expert on it, though. If you want to get his opinion, they named an omelet after him in Houston called the Pick Six Omelet. After you get six different toppings on your egg, after he threw, I think it was
Absolutely.
Six straight games or something with it. But hey, Barry, always appreciate the time. I know we're in different times right now with the NFL and for the Browns, but I hope it comes out on the other end because, you know, Cleveland is a city, obviously, with Art Modell and the history that you feel for teams that have worked hard to get to this point. They're so close. To see if they don't make the playoffs, if Baker's not the quarterback for the future, that's all great. For it to be taken out of their hands, not because of something that's illegal or anything like that, but with the COVID testing and what's going on, that would just be, I'm just going to use the word unfortunate if that's what happens for the teams.
Well, every NFL year, this time of year, it's always known as the age of attrition, but that's usually a term that is focused more on injuries, and you're scrounging for guys. You're looking for guys that will play the second and the third and maybe even become your starter. So the age of attrition is here. Unfortunately, is a disease this time and not an injury.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed my time with you.